so greatly in need of the help of God by and through the Holy Spirit. I venture now to direct your thoughts and attention to the word which is found in Psalm 30 and reading verse 5. Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favour is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. It is especially the second part of the verse which I trust the Lord has laid upon my spirit. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. How the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was upon the earth, came across, shall I say, many a grieving, weeping character, many a weeping soul. The Saviour came too whilst he was here below. And yet there is also the record that Jesus himself knew what it was to weep. I'm sure you all know the verse regarded as the shortest verse in the Bible, just those two words, Jesus wept. And I believe it was not the only time that he wept whilst here below. And the prophet, speaking of him in the prophecy of Isaiah, refers to the Lord Jesus as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Well, it is these words then, as they come in here in this psalm, weeping may endure for a night. Here then, weeping is connected with the night, the darkness, a time when there is perhaps more of a casting down. How true it is, surely, as we all may have experienced it, even in a little way, that when we are afflicted in something, even when we were children, if we were poorly, the night, if we had something that kept us awake, how it was harder to endure the night. Was there not, even in such things, there was a waiting and watching for the morning? And perhaps it has been like this, or in this way, with one or another of you, even of late. There has been perhaps those night seasons when you have been mourning over one thing or another, perhaps not with literal tears, but the Lord looks upon the heart. Weeping may endure for a night. Oh, friends, do I know something of such a season? Has the Lord so dealt with us? It is the case, as I understand, that amongst you here, as a people, there have been those this year removed by the hand of death. And surely of all things that are a cause for weeping, it is the loss of loved ones. And those who have known it and have been the subject of bereavement this year, and of course in former times, the Lord sometimes, it is many years that at certain times there are those remembrances of those whom the Lord has taken. And then there may be that fresh weeping, literally, and a sorrow increasing in the remembrances and the felt loss. Weeping. But, dear friends, there are other causes, shall I say, for weeping. And I wondered what to read. I hope the Lord directed me to read the portion in the Gospel of John. Now, what was Mary's grief? What was Mary's sorrow? Well, it was in that sense that one she loved had been taken, not one by ties of nature, but one in a deeper and a more fuller bond than ties of nature. Perhaps that's not the right comparison, but spiritually, and in the case of Mary Magdalene, she owed much to the Lord Jesus Christ, who had cast out of her seven devils. But he was hung upon the cross. His body was laid in the tomb, and she had lost her Lord. And how the angels inquired of her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" Well, dear friends, I do not know how you have come to chapel this evening. We might say it's a beautiful time of the year. The days have been very sunny of late. The daylight hours are long. And why should the Lord's, why should the minister come with a sorrowful subject like this? But dear friends, when there is sorrow, when there is grief in the heart, then no amount of natural sunshine will take away that grief, that sorrow. And I feel there are those who know something of it. Well, dear friends, if the Lord should come to you and to me this evening and say to us, to you, to me, woman, man, young person, why weepest thou? Why weepest thou? How would you answer? What would you say? Well, in one sense, I could wish that the answer might be, I do not feel any sorrow. It's not something to be wished that we should be in this case. And yet, we live in a world of sin and woe. Death is stamped upon all around. And how true those lines are. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. But Mary had lost him. Dear friend, are you here this evening because you have lost your Lord? And you may be crying out in the substance of it with dear Cowper, where is the blessedness I knew when first I sought the Lord? Where is the soul-refreshing view of Jesus and his word? Why weepest thou? Well, the Lord knows each one's case and each one's need. But what a wonderful truth is here expressed. Weeping may endure for a night. But, there's a but in the word here, but joy cometh in the morning. Oh, I hope it's not out of place, but my thoughts have gone to none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I've already noted that he was, whilst here below, one who knew what it was to weep. What it was to weep. There is more than one record of the weeping of the Lord Jesus Christ. At least in spirit. But, he was betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. What did he say to those who came to apprehend him, and Judas at their head, who betrayed him with a kiss? And what did he say? Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief, with swords and staves. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour, and the power of darkness. The power of darkness. Friends, the Lord Jesus Christ knew more than anyone what he was speaking about. And even when he was hanging upon the cross, you remember how the sun was darkened and there was darkness over the whole earth. Was it for 3 hours, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour? Oh, what a night. What a night. As far as the people of God were concerned, surely in one sense, never such a night as when Jesus entered into that time of suffering. And he himself had said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. Well, that darkness then was felt and known. And oh, how great it was. But none can realize, none can fully know how it was in the holy, holy soul of the Saviour. But he endured all the wrath of God against sinners, laid upon him, smitten, stricken and afflicted. Well, I had not thought perhaps to speak of the Lord Jesus, but if ever this word is true, and how blessedly true, weeping may endure for a night. Oh, those 3 days. But joy cometh in the morning. And what does it say of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Epistle to the Hebrews? It says this, who? For the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. Well then, dear friends, as surely and certainly as that awful night when the Son of God bore the collected might of all that was due to punish the sins of his people, as surely as that night came to an end, on that blessed resurrection morning, so for each one of his dear people, the truth in these words will be fulfilled in your life if you are one of his. Oh, friends, what an if. But if we are amongst the redeemed, then the truth here will be fulfilled for each one. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now, dear Mary, as we have read of her, she had much cause to weep herself in the loss of her Lord and Master, the seemingly coming to an end, to an abrupt end of all her hopes and that one whom she loved. Tell me, she said to the gardener, as she supposed, tell me where thou hast laid him. Well, have you come in this to the chapel this evening? Are you found with Job in his cry, oh, that I knew where I might find him? And is there not that sorrow? Is there not that weeping in the heart? Because you mourn an absent God. The poet said, and oft he or she mourned an absent God. Friends, is it a cause for us to mourn? Is it a cause of grief and sorrow that we do not enjoy his presence as we would? And do we not have to then look within? And I have no doubt that Mary Magdalene knew that as well, to reflect upon our sins. And and are these, as dear Cowper again comes in so fittingly, I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. Oh, friends, there is then a double cause to mourn. And do you know something of it? not only to mourn an absent God, but to mourn over our sins. How then the dear man went on, "The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee." Oh, friends, when the Lord shows to us what idols there are sometimes, we may come to a place sometimes where we think we haven't got any more, and then before we know where we are, we've been setting up something else, another idol, and how it separates our heart and soul from God. And what a night it can bring upon us. What a night. These idols. But oh friend, if the Lord causes you to feel and to know something of it, that it is a sin, your sin, my sins, these separate, these have brought that distance, as it were, and then do we not mourn? Oh, to mourn over our sins and after him. Well, if the Lord has brought us into this, even in a little measure, you'll find the word will be true, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Was it not so with the one in the Song of Solomon? How she went about the city, and really in her spirit she was mourning over the loss of her beloved, and how she asked the watchman, "Saw ye him whom my soul loveth?" It began when she said, "By night on my bed I sought him." You see, friend, it was in the night. "By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not." Oh, the grief, the sorrow. And dear friends, it will be a mercy if this may bring us to tears. But I found him not. And how she went out and went about the city and in the broad way seeking him whom my soul loveth. "I sought him, but I found him not." And then she spoke to the watchmen that go about the city, "Saw ye him whom my soul loveth?" But ah, how blessedly we read, "It was but a little. It was but a little that I passed from them. But I found him, whom my soul loveth." And then she held him and would not let him go. Then she knew the joy. She knew the joy of finding her beloved. And Mary Magdalene knew, I am sure, inexpressible joy. Oh, what she must have felt. She only said one word, as far as we know. When Jesus said to her, "Mary," she saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." But oh, the joy in her very soul to realize not only that he had not been taken away, but that he was indeed a risen Christ. A risen Christ. Oh, when the Lord makes himself known to a poor sinner as their Saviour and their hope of glory, there will be joy beyond all earthly joy. but joy cometh in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night. Well, the Lord is sovereign in how he deals with his people. But perhaps for a moment I'll just refer to the first part of this verse. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his anger. Sometimes when we think of our natural parents and those we love, they may have been angry with us for one reason or another. And if we know and realise and have to acknowledge that that anger is justified, then are we not aggrieved? Do we not mourn that we have offended? Now, it would be a mercy if in our soul we have that tender fear of the Lord to cause us to realise when we have offended an holy God, and thus to be found trembling and mourning over what we have done. But the Lord is very gracious, for his anger endureth but a moment. And there are those well-known words in the 54th of Isaiah, how the Lord speaks so tenderly to his dear child. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. Now for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. Now, you see, friends, there are two things in this little portion. For a small moment have I forsaken thee. There is a poor, trembling, fearing one left alone. Left alone. Which is in line with what I've already been hinting at with regard to Mary Magdalene. Feeling for and knowing what it is to be forsaken. But it also speaks of this: in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. In a little wrath. Oh, friends, who can stand before his anger? But what a mercy if the Lord in making known to us where we have grieved him, he causes us to weep before him, causes us indeed to know that real repentance and a godly sorrow. You see, friends, the revelation of Jesus Christ to a poor sinner is here in the Word of God, where it says this: they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. It may say they shall look upon me, but they shall look upon him whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Oh, friends, a sight, a glimpse of the suffering Saviour will bring us into weeping, mourning over our sins and after him. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Oh, the mercies that the Lord reveals to that one that I was referring to in the prophecy of Isaiah, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. But joy cometh in the morning. Oh, what a morning when the Lord reveals his face and his love to a poor trembling sinner. Weeping may endure for a night. But there are many instances in God's word of those who have been brought into a weeping place. And I am reminded of dear Hannah. She had such cause to weep, and how she came into the house of God with it. And I cannot remember for the moment exactly what it says about her. So I turn to it, and what do we read? This: and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And wept sore. Well, you know why she wept. It was because the Lord had shut up her womb. Even her husband said to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? It's the same question, isn't it, as in the gospel. Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? How it shows to us, dear friends, that there are times when even our nearest and dearest cannot give the comfort. They cannot remove the source of our grief. But there is one who can. Oh, there is one who can. And you see, dear friends, she had to take it into the house of God. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk, and she came into the temple, to the house of God. Well, we know with her what, how she prayed, how she was misunderstood, and yet weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And what joy she knew when presently she brought her Samuel into the temple. And Eli, she could say to him, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Oh, friends, would that we knew more in Zion today of this kind of weeping and coming before the Lord with our petitions, even in our grief and in our sorrow. And surely in travail for souls. But the Lord knows with each one what there is in your path. There are those things in our pathway in providence at times that bring us to weep. Those things in the families that bring us to weep. Oh, how many parents have wept over their children in one way or another. Oh, how many have wept. But, dear friends, what help is needed to take it to the Lord? And if the Lord has caused it to come, then presently there will be a morning. There will be a day, the returning of the day, in the Lord's own sovereign way. not always as we would prescribe. And yet, dear friends, if in the regarding the souls, if there should be that blessed morning, the coming of the day, that blessed morning when the Lord appears to those whom we may mourn over. Oh, what a rejoicing then. And we shall be able to say with dear Hannah, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Well, may the Lord yet grant us that grace to wait and to watch and to wait again. Amen.